Officer fired over shooting gunman's wife acquitted. I'm Barton Eckert. A white officer in Baton Rouge fired in the fatal shooting of a black man, Alton Sterling, nearly 2 years ago outside a Louisiana convenience store. Sterling family attorney L. Chris Stewart says this death is a tragic reminder of larger problems.
Why does it keep happening to black men in the inner city? Because normally none of you care. But when they look like you, you care. We've got to get over that internal bias that everybody has.
Results of a second autopsy on Stephon Clark contradicts the account given by police about how the 22-year-old black man was fatally shot by Sacramento officers. Correspondent Nick Watts says virtually every shot was lethal.
This pathologist said that those first seven shots, each of those shots could have theoretically been fatal in itself. Now, they are now saying that this result, these results, contradict the narrative that we have been getting from the authorities, which, as I said, was that Stephon Clark was facing them at the time that the first shots were fired.
The widow of Pulse nightclub gunman Noor Salman was acquitted of charges she faced in connection with her husband's 2016 rampage in Orlando.
After a two-week trial, Noor Salman was found not guilty of providing material support to a foreign terrorist organization and obstruction of justice. One of her family members expressed sympathy outside the courtroom for the families of victims and survivors of the shooting. The family has always considered Salman to be the first victim of her husband, Omar Mateen. I'm Natasha Chen.
Dozens of Roman Catholic faithful dressed as biblical figures fled a Good Friday procession in panic in the Mexican resort town of Acapulco after gunfire rang out over a nearby car robbery. I'm Barton Eckert.
It's 6:02 at 105.9 FM and AM 630 Washington's Mall, WMAL. I'm James Stanley. Happy Easter weekend. Frustrated Howard University students aren't backing down as a second day of protests is underway.
Following news that six university employees misappropriated financial aid money, and they've been camping out in the school's administration building. The HU Resist group's posting videos on Twitter from inside. Among those demands, disarming campus police and
the immediate resignation of Wayne A.I. Frederick and the eight executive board of trustee members.
I'm Lee Graham on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
The boyhood home of Confederate General Robert E. Lee has spent stints as a high society gathering place, a museum, and most recently a private family home. And now it could be yours. It's up for sale. The Washington Post reporting this weekend, owners Mark and Ann Kington want the next owners of the house in Alexandria, Virginia, to be stewards of the past. A team of attorneys are helping a group of homeless people in filing a class action lawsuit, claiming that Washington, D.C. workers are improperly throwing out belongings during sweeps of street encampments. The Washington Post reporting the lawsuit was filed this past week and asserts that city government and the mayor are violating the Fourth Amendment's protections against unreasonable searches and seizures. Well, 5 decades after MLK's assassination, a new AP NORC poll shows that most African Americans think the goals of the civil rights movement have not been achieved. Americans overall are optimistic, though, about race relations in the U.S., with more than half saying they think major progress has been made in achieving equal voting rights for African Americans, but 3/4 of African Americans say there's been little or no progress on fair treatment by police. WMAL traffic now. From the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center, checking the roads this early Saturday morning, we have a jackknifed 18-wheeler through Virginia. It's right there at the intersection of 29, 15, and 17. It's on the southbound lanes right before Lee's Ridge. All of the lanes are blocked from the accident. I-81 northbound near the West Virginia Welcome Center. We've got one left lane getting by. That's for an emergency work zone that's set up this weekend. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast. Sunny today, high 62. Increasing cloudiness overnight, low 45. A little cloudy on Sunday, 65 for a high. And then a chance of rain and snow mix on Sunday night into Monday, down to 35 degrees. Monday's high just 51. Right now, it's 41 degrees at Reagan National. I'm James Stanley on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Sundays on WMAL. Starting at 5, it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, it's The Chris McKay Show. At 6, it's Savvy Investor Radio. And at 6:30, Chris McKay returns. Then at 8, it's The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home. Hear The Wise Investor at 9. Trading Up at 10. The Underwriter's Corner at 11. Dr. Tom Rozelle live at noon. Savvy Investor Radio at 1. The Del Wamsley Show at 2. Mortgage Radio at 3. Real Estate Today at 7. Followed by Real Estate Now at 9:30 on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k, IRA, or investment account? Then I have one word of advice. Stop. Many experts warn of a stock market crash any day now. And if it's anything like the last two crashes, you could lose 50% or more of your hard-earned savings in the Wall Street casino. Can you afford to lose half of your retirement savings again? Hey, you don't have to lose a penny, because there's a better, safer way to save for retirement. And you can learn all about it in a free report. This is the report Wall Street and big banks desperately hope you never see. Why? Because this method continues to grow your money even when the market tumbles. It lets you take back control of your money and finances, and it gives you penalty-free access to your savings. Plus, it beats the pants off any 401k or IRA. These are uncertain times, so get the information you need today to guarantee your retirement security. To get this free report, go to bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
When markets get bumpy, do you want an 800 number, an overseas operator, or a robotic program to be your investment advisor? When the going gets tough, a financial advisor who knows your needs and goals gets going. This is Chase Hinderstein from the Wise Investor Group. Give us a call. We think we can help.
Chase Hinderstein and the Wise Investor Group are affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, Incorporated. To reach Chase, call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed, wise investor.
For 30 years and over 3,000 homes sold, Eric Stewart of Long & Foster has perfected his process for getting your home sold fast and for the most money, pushing all the buyers to find your home on over 350 websites. Your property stands out above the rest. His signature guarantee buy program, radio shows, luxury marketing, and senior solutions team give your home the most comprehensive exposure of any real estate agent in the whole country. For more information, go to ericstewartgroup.com.
I'm Mike Cappell. Which is worse, starting a business in a cold, wet basement of a factory or running payroll? Payroll, of course. That's why Patriot Software helps small business owners do payroll in minutes, starting at just $10 a month. Go to patriotsoftware.com and enter promo code RADIO, and I'll give you 2 months of payroll processing free. That's patriotsoftware.com.
Howdy, Washington, D.C. It's Jeff from Cat Spot Litter. If you own a cat, you know how much of a hassle it is buying that heavy, dusty clay litter at the store every couple weeks. Are you ready to save time and money? Well, listen up. I've invented a new cat litter that is lightweight, dust-free, and made from 100% real coconut. It's called Cat Spot Litter. There ain't nothing better at zapping cat urine smells, either. The best part? For only $15, we ship a 30-day supply right to your front door. Shoot, we even offer a money-back guarantee. Jump on the coconut bandwagon and get rid of that toxic clumping clay litter. Start thinking healthy for you, your cat, and our planet. Go to catspotlitter.com and give it a try. Use promo code CAT3 for 15% off your first order. Hey, I appreciate you listening.
March is National Frozen Food Month. Stop by your local freezer aisle for delicious and convenient solutions for any occasion. And visit EasyHomeMeals.com to enter the $10,000 sweepstakes and view official rules. Ends April 2nd. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM. And AM 630.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update, and a happy Easter and Passover weekend to you. If you look outside, the moon is amazing. Enjoy it while you can, because who knows what that space station may hit on its way in, which we'll talk about in just a moment. Wow. Something new every day, isn't there? Well, obviously, there is a lot to cover this morning. President Trump's made some news this week, an understatement. And a lot of the news was made on Thursday, and a lot of that news surprised members of his team, including those at the State Department and the Pentagon, when he started talking about Syria and our future policy in Syria. We'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. Hillary Clinton making headlines this week as well. She just can't get over it. We'll talk about that because the funny thing about her, I saw her speak at George Washington University, gosh, when she was first lady, and she was a great speaker. If she would just speak about things people cared about instead of all of her excuses as to why she lost. Anyway, we'll get into that in a little more detail and play you some of her latest, greatest hits coming up from Hillary Clinton this morning. We've got our cast of regulars will be joining us this morning. Cheryl Atkison, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, John Gizzi, and Jennifer Harper. Trusted names here on the Saturday Morning Update are all with us. And plenty of things going on throughout the week that we'll be tackling. You know, Russia, the whole expulsion of the diplomats. What does that mean? We'll get a perspective on that from the political side, from John Gizzi, and then we'll talk on the military side with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. Russia testing a new Satan II intercontinental ballistic missile this week. We'll talk about Syria, where there was a roadside bomb that killed two soldiers, one American and one British soldier this week. The president says that we're coming out of Syria very soon. The Veterans Administration has a new appointee, at least in the interim, and he is awaiting the approval. And it'll be interesting if the Senate gives him the confirmation, and a lot of people really don't know much about the incoming Secretary of the VA, but we'll give you some details because there was some mockery of him, but he's got some real cred behind him, and we're going to talk about that this morning. Are you watching the attorneys in the Stormy Daniels case go back and forth? I mean, it was Stormy on 60 Minutes, and then the lawyers have been duking it out all week long. You may have heard that Stormy's attorney, Mr. Avenatti, had been seeking to depose the president as soon as he could. Well, that request was denied by a judge. Judge said it was premature, because Michael Cohen and his attorney have not had a chance to respond. So the deposition denied by a judge for the time being as premature. Kim Jong-un, a little train trip up to China. What's that mean? Talk about that with Tony Schaefer coming up this morning. Facebook. Everybody's all upset about Facebook and privacy. We haven't had privacy in the last decade. Your iPhone knows more about you than you do, and that's no joke. It knows how many steps you took today. It knows how many steps you went up and down today. It can tell different things about your health. It knows where you are at all times. It knows where you've been. It knows when you get in your car, even though you don't ask it to. It tells you how long it's going to take you to get home. How does it know where you're going? It's unbelievable. Now, they're not selling that information. Doesn't mean it's not getting out, though. You don't think maybe people have access to that kind of stuff? Maybe the Russians and the Chinese have access to that kind of information? Sitting in apps, even if it's not being sold? Wow. Well, Mr. Zuckerberg will have his day on Capitol Hill. How about Roseanne Barr? We'll get into that in just a couple of minutes. The show is back. Rating success. When you're successful in the ratings, the president takes note, and we're going to have some of that audio coming up for you very shortly. You know, weekends, I don't know about you, but I do try and get to Starbucks once in a while on a weekend, on a Sunday morning, and have a mocha while I might be walking outside. Well, if you're in California, the mocha or whatever coffee you get at Starbucks or Whole Foods or any of other 90 retailers in California is going to have a nasty little note on it about acrylamide and how it could cause cancer. So next time you have a cup of coffee in California, be prepared to get worried about getting cancer from your cup of coffee. It's all part of Prop 65. Proposition 65. That's the same proposition that has warning signs about cancer at Disneyland. California. Here I come. Whew. Here's an interesting one. A Houston megachurch pastor, longtime spiritual advisor to President George W. Bush, indicted in federal court on Thursday on claims he sold more than $1 million in worthless Chinese bonds to vulnerable and elderly investors, some of whom lost their life savings to the alleged scheme. Federal grand jury returning a 13-count indictment accusing the Reverend Kirby John H. Caldwell and a financial planner, Gregory Allen Smith, of wire fraud, money laundering, and conspiracy. If you can't trust a megachurch pastor, who can you trust? It's 6:15. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Again, it is great to have you with us, and plenty to cover, and we will get into detail on all of the big stories with our experts. And, you know, they know what they're talking about, so stay with us on the Saturday morning update. We're going to head over to the traffic center, get the very latest on what's going on with James Stanley. James?
Hey, Rick, thank you, and good morning from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center, and happy Easter weekend, everyone. Really light traffic out this morning, but holiday weekends typically don't keep truck drivers off the road, and we've got a jackknifed 18-wheeler. It's in Virginia at the intersection there where 29, 15, and 17 all come together on the southbound side right around Lee's Ridge. Police have all of the lanes blocked through there. They are rerouting you around it, though. That's a work zone on Maryland Avenue, both directions affected between Great Falls to about Monument. They're doing some utility work through there, and that is slowing things down. Now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, Rick has your WMA Weather Channel forecast.
James, and for the weekend, we're looking halfway decent today. We'll be up about 59 later on this afternoon in the sunshine. For Easter Sunday, look for a high of 60 degrees. Monday, only up to 49 with some rain in the picture. Tuesday looks rainy with a high of 62. Wednesday, more rain, high of 63. Right now, chilly in Washington, 37 degrees, a beautiful moon while it lasts. And we're at 6:17 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
So the president wasn't talking for about 4 days. He was kind of quiet earlier in the week, but he was saving it all up for a trip to Ohio on Thursday, and where he was going to be speaking about primarily infrastructure and economic issues. And he did kind of stay on the script for the first few minutes anyway.
For most of our history, American infrastructure was the envy of the world. True. Go back 30, 40, 50 years, they would look at us like now we are like, in many cases, a third world country. It's an embarrassment. And we're the ones that had the imagination and the drive to get it done. But we've got that again.
And then he got into infrastructure that may not be funded in his infrastructure bill, i.e. the wall.
On September 28th, we go further, and we're getting that sucker built. And you think that's easy? People said, oh, has he given up on the wall? No, I never give up. I never. We have $1.6 billion toward the wall.
So then, somehow, judges and the Supreme Court got into the conversation.
You know, when I got in, we had over 100 federal judges that weren't appointed. Now, I don't know why Obama left that. It was like a big, beautiful present to all of us. Why did he leave that?
All righty. He did get back into infrastructure, though, a bit, as he talked about the nation's power companies.
Nationwide, we average 300 power outages per year, compared to just 5 per year in the 1980s. A total mess. And a lot of it is because some of these power companies, they have the money. They have the wherewithal. They couldn't get their approvals. They couldn't get their permits. For years and years and years, they're trying to get permits. Now they get them really fast.
And the topic of bridges.
We don't build bridges like very much anymore. A little bit every once in a while. But our roads are clogged. We have average drivers spend 42 hours every year stuck in traffic, costing us at least $160 billion annually. Our mass transit systems are a mess. They're dilapidated and they're decayed.
I don't know where he gets that 42 hours a year stuck in traffic. Everybody quotes these ridiculously low numbers as to how many hours you get stuck in traffic. If you're stuck in traffic for 45 minutes in the morning and 45 minutes in the evening every day, you're stuck in traffic for an hour and a half. Now, if you work 5 days a week, you're stuck in traffic for 7 hours a week, right? Seven and a half? Multiply that by 50 weeks if you get two off. That's 350 hours a week. All the media people quote this really ridiculously low number. I mean, you think of how long you're stuck in traffic. Anyway, sorry for the digression there. Now, he's talked a lot about domestic infrastructure, and he's not real pleased about international infrastructure.
In recent years, Americans have watched as Washington spent trillions and trillions of dollars building up foreign countries while allowing our own country's infrastructure to fall into a state of total disrepair.
And one more, as he was there, he was talking about, sort of the idea of American ingenuity.
We dug out the Panama Canal. We transformed our skylines with towering works of concrete and steel and laid the foundation for the modern economy. To rebuild this nation, we must reclaim that proud heritage. Have to reclaim it.
And that's one thing I want to say. As much as people criticize the president, he's getting things done. I mean, he has cut regulations, so some of this stuff will actually get done. There are so many things that he's talked about doing that he is actually doing. Now, it may not be things that some people want him to do, but at least he's doing something. And he made commitments, he made promises, and he's keeping them. Now, whether that is something everybody agrees with, obviously, that's another question. I understand that. You might not like what he's doing, but at least he's doing something, as opposed to the Congress, which generally does very little, if nothing. All right, so that's the president out and about. Now, Hillary Clinton was out and about. And let's set this up. Now, I don't think, well, a lot of people interpret her in different ways. All depends on how you look at it. But I think the issue with Hillary Clinton is I think it would be great if she were out speaking on topics that people were interested in. She's a very intelligent woman, as I mentioned earlier. She spoke at GW. She had no notes. She spoke for an hour just off the cuff, and she's a great speaker. But the problem everybody seems to have is what she's speaking about is all of these reasons that she lost the election. And now when people are criticizing her for coming up with another excuse every week, she's getting upset about that. Well, she was at Rutgers. And again, instead of making headlines about something significant, maybe she were to take on a cause, you know, a global cause, women's issues, global cause, she's still talking about her issues.
And, you know, the election was pretty traumatic. So I think there were a lot of people who were like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to have to think about it. I don't want to have to hear about it. Totally, that's how I felt. I took a lot of long walks in the woods, drank my share of Chardonnay. I did what I could to... it.
There's a lot more she could be talking about. Okay. Now, this is the one that made the headlines this week, and this is why people get upset with her, including members of her own party, especially Democrats who are running in red states.
I was really struck by how people said that to me, you know, mostly people in the press, for whatever reason, like, oh, you know, go away, go away. And I had one of the young people who works for me go back and do a bit of research. They never said that to any man who was not elected. And I was kind of struck by that, and I'm really glad that, you know, Al Gore didn't stop talking about climate change, and I'm really glad that John Kerry went to the Senate and became an excellent Secretary of State, and I'm really glad John McCain kept speaking out and standing up and saying what he had to say.
Yeah, but none of them complained about losing the election the way you have. None of them complained and blamed it on everybody but yourself. That's the difference. You're an intelligent woman. Can't you figure that out? People are upset with you because you just keep making up excuses as to why you lost. That's why they want you to go away. If you spoke about something substantive, as I said, like if you took up a cause and stuck to the cause, maybe people would be more accepting. Whatever. Wouldn't you think? 6:25, Saturday morning update.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to secure the best interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools to find the right loan and save you more. So tune into WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding Corporation.
Chris Plant here. If you've tried online dating, you're probably suffering from ESS, excessive swipe syndrome, where every dating app has you swiping and swiping with nothing to show for it. Thankfully, there's a cure for ESS. It's Just Lunch. The It's Just Lunch dating process works because their matchmakers first get to know you, learning about your likes and dislikes, then personally hand-select matches from their exclusive member base. It's Just Lunch will provide you with high-quality matches in low-pressure situations. It could be a casual lunch or drinks after work, face-to-face with someone who shares your interests and your seriousness about dating. With spring upon us, delete those dating apps and start going out on real dates. Call or text It's Just Lunch at 202-466-6699. 202-466-6699. 202-466-6699. Or visit itsjustlunchdc.com.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 2000 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 2000.
Saturday morning update. We're at 6:28, and we mentioned Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, Cheryl Atkinson, John Gizzi, and Jennifer Harper all coming up on the program. And also, we will have a visit from Marty Stewart, 5-time Grammy Award winner, will join us. He'll be in town next weekend, and he's performing at the Birchmere on Friday and Saturday of next weekend. And amazing entertainer, and the reason I like to bring him on the show is just to kind of share his experiences with you and share what is an amazing evening of American music. It's across the board. It's not just one genre. And a very interesting guy, and we'll be talking to him coming up later on the Saturday morning update. One quick note, you're hearing about the Chinese space station. Well, we're going to get into some details on that with Jennifer Harper coming up next. Could be coming back to Earth as soon as tomorrow. And Jennifer Harper is covering that one for us this morning. And also, we're going to tell you a little more about the incoming director of the Veterans Administration. It is the president's physician, who was also the physician to President Barack Obama and to George W. Bush. And people have been saying, oh, he's just a, you know, had a great time on TV with the president's physical report, and the president loves him because he was on TV, yada, yada, yada. Well, there's more to it than that, and we will tell you about it a little bit later on the Saturday Morning Update. The 6:30 news is coming up. Then we are back with Jennifer Harper, John Gizzi in his regular spot coming up right after the 7 o'clock news. And then we're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, 7:35. And right around 7:52, we will talk with Cheryl Atkinson. So, full house on the Saturday Morning Update.
If you owe back taxes, there's a lot you need to know, starting with rule number one, don't mess with the IRS. They are cracking down this year by sending out heart-stopping letters, actively garnishing paychecks, levying bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. That's all true. But it's also true there's a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt assistance. It's one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered, so now's the time. You could qualify for a tax settlement that saves you thousands, even tens of thousands. Nobody knows this program like the award-winning experts at Optima Tax Relief. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and will work to get you the best deal possible. Don't mess with the IRS. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima for a free consultation.
Call 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Good morning. It's 6:30 at 105.9 FM and AM 6:30, Washington's Mall, WMAL. I'm James Stanley. The Maryland Senate has approved an annual $167 million grant, but that's not enough. It'll take buy-in from other municipalities.
To support the Metro, a similar bill has cleared the House of Delegates. The measure also requires the annual grant to increase by 3% annually. A 2017 study by former U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood recommended Maryland, Virginia, and the district provide annual dedicated funding of $500 million for capital costs. Virginia is contributing $154 million, and the district is providing $179 million. I'm Lee Graham on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
A controversial Virginia lawyer who's already lost his law license once has now lost it again for violating rules of conduct, capping a week-long disciplinary hearing on three ethics complaints brought against him by the Virginia State Bar. A three-judge panel has revoked Attorney Joe Morrissey's law license, effective on June 15th. Howard University in D.C. has confirmed that six employees have been fired for what they're calling gross misconduct and neglect of duties after school officials discovered financial aid money had been misappropriated. News outlets are reporting that the investigation from 2007 to 2016 found that some employees at the historically black university received tuition remission and university grants. Congressman Ryan Costello is one of six Pennsylvania Republicans who have resigned, retired, or who are running for another race. Costello says the Stormy Daniels lawsuit involving allegations of sexual relationships with President Donald J. Trump didn't factor into his decision much, but he says it is problematic for Republicans.
Ultimately, voters look at this different ways depending upon who the voter is. And I'm here to say I believe it to be true. I don't like it. But it's a very difficult political decision that lawmakers have to make if they're going to ask about this.
WMAL traffic now from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center, checking the roads. We still have this jackknifed truck. It's on southbound 29-15-17, and that merge, Lee's Ridge, is where you're going to come across it. All of the lanes are shut down through there. It's an emergency work zone out on 81 northbound, right around the West Virginia Welcome Center. Just one left lane's getting by. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast. Sunny and 62 this afternoon, 45 overnight, mostly cloudy on Sunday, 65. Rain and snow in the forecast for Sunday night into Monday. Right now it's 41 degrees at Reagan National. I'm James Stanley on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Have you been thinking of buying a home? Are you a first-time home buyer with lots of questions? The main question is, how do I even get started in this whole process? The way you begin is to tune in to the Underwriter's Corner on Sunday, 11 a.m. to the noon hour. Put any question you have directly to the underwriter at First Preference Mortgage. All the loan officers will also be available to talk to you one-on-one. This is one time you don't get voicemail. Getting pre-approved is free. There's no cost to you. Know what you're qualified for, how much money you will need out of your pocket, and what your monthly mortgage payment would be before you go out looking at houses. Join us on Sunday at 11 a.m. here at WMAL 105.9 FM, AM 630 WMAL. I look forward to talking with you on Sunday, 11 a.m. for the Underwriter's Corner.
Don't miss the Underwriter's Corner with host Bill Parisi, Sundays at 11, right here on WMAL.
This is the Saturday Morning Update on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
You are listening to the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and normally Jennifer Harper takes us inside the Beltway, but we'll kick it off this week taking it outside the Beltway to the land of the deplorables and the land of the popularity of Roseanne. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, and happy Easter, happy Passover, and happy spring to everybody. We'll see it sooner or later.
Let's hope. So, Roseanne. Ratings bonanza. The president acknowledges it. The media is ablaze. What do you make of it?
Well, it was definitely a cultural moment and certainly a political moment as well. As most of our listeners know, Roseanne was a huge hit. 18 million viewers tuned in for this on Tuesday night, and she got praise from everybody you wouldn't expect. CNN, USA Today, Variety, the New York Times, Vanity Fair, all raving about this show, which, of course, has some pro-Trump dialogue in it. And that is because Roseanne Barr herself had some input on these shows' scripts. So that explains all that. And I think probably the best summation I saw was for Ad Week, which they said Roseanne has the last laugh. And definitely Roseanne Barr was very classy in the aftermath, Rick. In fact, she kind of borrowed a page out of Donald Trump's playbook, and she thanked her viewers. She credited her viewers, just like Donald Trump often credits the voters. She said, "I am so grateful to the fans of the Roseanne Show for giving it a good premiere rating. You are all wonderful. Here is to making America laugh and talk again. Love you." And that's what she said in a tweet immediately after that. And now, a couple of days later, Rick, we have a whole new phenomenon to deal with. And that is what is being called the Roseanne voter. And out of all of this comedy and pro-Trump pride time and all that sort of thing, the political strategists have taken a peek at this, and they're beginning to get a little jittery because there's a new voter demographic which emerged out of this, and it's kind of loosely being called the Roseanne voter, Rick. And it's sort of a hybrid, a populist type of voter, an independent, a realist. Somebody who still believes in America, could lean patriotic, but is also full of some surprises. So we're going to have to deal with the Roseanne voter for a while here. And after all of that, the pollsters arrive as well. And probably the most significant poll that came out was from Morning Consult. And this is what they had to say. Republicans are ripe for a Roseanne revival because only 36% of Republicans feel as though their political views are represented on television. And only 19% feel that their views are represented in pop culture. So this, again, this is coming from a Morning Consult survey. So if you sometimes feel like, hey, I don't identify with these TV shows, you're not alone. And this poll also went on to find out that a kind of a refreshing demographic here, 73% of Americans overall said that TV shows should have more working class characters. 80% of Democrats and 72% of Republicans agreed with that. And last but not least, not too many numbers this early in the morning, only 10% of Americans say that TV shows represent a conservative perspective. Again, only 10%. That includes 7% of Republicans, 9% of independents, and 13% of Democrats. Again, that's a Morning Consult poll.
So we turn to the anti-gun violence march, which we saw in Washington and around the country last week. From what we hear from the organizers, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Well, you're definitely right about that, Rick, and certainly this has been a long week following the march last weekend, including all the media appearances by the quote-unquote the kids that were in the march and all that goes along with that, and that's a whole story altogether different that we won't address right now. But there was some controversy, certainly, involving how many people were actually at the march, and the organizers were saying that 850,000 people were here in D.C. attending the march, and a research group that used aerial photos said, no, there were only about 200,000. And there was one more study of note, and that was coming from University of Maryland sociology professor Dana R. Fisher, a very astute lady, and she took a six-person research team into the crowd. And they did a lot of sociological research to find out. They estimate that only 10% of the crowd were actually under 18, were actually children, and the rest were a mix of older folks and certainly a lot of people who had attended a march before. But in terms of you ain't seen nothing yet, only 48 hours after that march end, Rick, Every Town for Gun Safety folks, now they were the primary organizers behind this. You may not know it, but they are funded by Michael Bloomberg, the billionaire. Anyway, this is what they have to say, that the students inspired the nation and demonstrated they were a force in the gun violence prevention movement. And they say they are committed to continuing the fight. To further that momentum, Every Town for Gun Safety announces new resources, including a $1 million grant program dedicated to spurring student-driven advocacy to end gun violence. So they're just getting started here, folks. They say they've already organized 200 community events, 75 legislative meetings at Senate offices in 41 states. The group already claims that they have 4 million members. And that 33,000 student recruits, they're calling them, join every week, and they are eager to found their own chapters and focus on voter registration and all that kind of stuff. And their plans are to, quote, call out lawmakers beholden to the gun lobby. In terms of the march, we're going to see more from them.
Let's turn to a story that's been making the news from high above the earth. That is the space station that has the Made in China label on it. It's headed our way, and there are projections that what's left of it, which could be tons, could end up where and when?
We're talking about Tiangong 1, and this is a Chinese space station that was launched way back in 2011. And about in 2016, China announced that they had lost telemetry with this space vehicle and that it was going to start coming down to Earth, and that so far, folks are predicting that would know these things that it's going to come down to Earth tomorrow, April 1. And a little bit about Tiangong 1 in Chinese, that name means heavenly palace. It weighs 9 tons. It's the size of a bus, about 34 feet long. And it started out at 216 miles above the Earth. It is now orbiting at about 130 miles above Earth, going 17,224 miles per hour. All that aside, the Center for Orbital and Reentry Debris Studies. How about that, Rick?
Yow.
At the Aerospace Corporation. Now, these folks study everything up in the atmosphere. They're really, for a better word, they're really the cat's meow when it comes to this sort of thing. Anyway, they put out a statement saying April 1st, 7:15 in the morning, give or take 20 hours. So that's what they're predicting. Tomorrow sometime, give or take 20 hours. So who knows? They've also identified probable reentry points. And this is a very narrow band, that goes right through, just above the midsection of the United States of America. And it includes spots in California, Oregon, the Midwest, New England, New York, New Jersey, lots of population areas. So they're watching that as well. They reassure everybody who's afraid that maybe they're going to get hit by a falling piece of flaming Tiangong. But this organization, the Aerospace Corporation, says there's only a 1 in a trillion chance of getting popped on the head by something from a falling the space debris. And the Interagency Space Debris Coordination Tracking Unit, okay, a lot of names here, 13 space agencies around the world are also watching the descent of this thing. And if you're curious, some of the best information is at aerospace.org. Again, that's the Aerospace Corporation, who seems to know everything. And one last thing, if you do see some of the space debris, don't touch it. Number one, it could have hazardous or noxious materials from fuel tanks and other things, sharp edges and so forth. And reason number two, this is according to LiveScience.com, According to the Outer Space Treaty of 1967, a country's spacecraft is their legal property until they say it's not their legal property. No matter where it lands, whether it lands in the ocean or sinks, or whether it lands on your land or some other country's land, it belongs to that country of origin. So it's illegal to sneak off with a piece of space debris. So there you go, Rick. Everything you ever wanted to know about Tiangong.
Wow. Chances are it will land on my car. That's the only problem.
Yeah.
All right, it is Easter weekend. What's on the agenda for the President and the First Lady?
Well, they're down in Florida, and they've been there for about 24 hours. The First Lady has been down there for a couple of days, and I don't blame her for going down there in the least. And President Trump departed the nation's capital on Thursday night, Rick, and down there in Palm Beach, Florida. And I looked around to see if there were any big protests or anything at the moment. Didn't appear to be. And son Barron is down there with him, and they're going to have a family, a family togetherness for a couple of days down at Mar-a-Lago. And Mrs. Trump spent quite some time delivering Easter baskets to patients in a local hospital. So in the past, the family has attended the Episcopal Church of Bethesda by the Sea. There was no reveal about whether they're going to be there, but if you're curious, you can watch the live stream of this church service, just in case the Trumps are there, 11 a.m. And kind of last but not least, they'll be coming back on Sunday because the White House Easter egg roll is on Monday. It begins at 7:30 a.m. They're expecting 35,000 fans. And if you want information or to look at these commemorative Easter eggs they always have, you can go to the White House Historical Association. That's a very classy group. And they're at whitehousehistory.org. And also, Rick, just for the heck of it, I took a peek at Ronald Reagan's Easter weekend greetings of April the 2nd, 1983. That's 35 years ago, folks, and this is what he had to say. Different times. This week, as American families draw together in worship, we join with millions upon millions of others around the world also celebrating the tradition of their faiths. During these days, at least, regardless of nationality, religion, or race, we are united by faith in God, and the barriers between us seem less significant. And this was both an Easter and a Passover greeting. And I thought that was pretty good, Mr. Reagan. Enjoyed reading that. And my last hurrah here for Easter is the University of Manchester, Rick, and that is in England, have done quite a bit of research, and they have declared that chocolate Easter eggs are now an environmental hazard.
Just like coffee in California.
Exactly. And they did all the math and all of those things that they do, finding out how far cocoa beans have to travel before they reach the factory, and whether how much water that they use. They say 265 gallons every they make a chocolate bar, and that 2 tons of greenhouse gases are released when the factories in Britain make their chocolate. That's as much as a big city, and so they are saying that Easter egg chocolate, pick something else. They have a big carbon footprint, and they are urging everyone to make chocolate more sustainable. I'm not really sure what that means, but, you know, hey, chocolate.
So I'll put my chocolate in a mocha at Starbucks. Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Thank you very much. Have a happy holiday weekend.
You too, everyone. Thanks a lot.
6:48 Saturday morning update, WMAL, and man, the moon is gorgeous this morning. While it's still dark, take a gander. We've got a check of the traffic and weather for you, and James Stanley is in the traffic center. What's going on? What's the latest, James?
Hey, thanks, Rick, and not a lot going on this morning from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center, though, checking the roads. We do have this Jackknife 18-wheeler. It's been there for a little while this morning. We've been reporting on it. It's right at 29, 15, 17, where all of those highways come together. It's on the southbound side, right around Lee's Ridge Road. Watch for a right lane blocked from that. Left lanes are moving. They're getting you around it. An emergency work zone has been set up this morning on 81 northbound, right around the West Virginia Welcome Center. They're pushing everybody into one left lane through there. No delays reported this morning on the Beltway Inner Loop or Outer Loop, and here in the district, things look good. Now from Garage Door Repair. The WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We are looking for sunshine today, and we'll be up around 60 degrees for tomorrow, Easter Sunday. Now they're saying a hair warmer. It looks like a high of 62 tomorrow, but cloudy. For Monday, some showers, high temperature only to 50, and then Tuesday and Wednesday, we're back with more showers. April showers, right? And high temperatures in the low 60s on Tuesday and Wednesday as well. Right now, a crisp 37 in Washington, heading to 60 this afternoon. And we are at 6:49 on the Saturday Morning Update.
This is the Saturday Morning Update on 105.9 FM and AM 630. Washington's Mall, WMAL.
When you're a fool for love.
And a happy Easter, happy Passover on the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. And with all the tension in Washington these days, let's change it up. There is an artist who, whenever he comes to town, I like to let you know because he is an amazing performer. And people who have seen him for the first time may not have even heard his music before or just knocked out. It is Marty Stewart. He's the consummate musician. He's won 5 Grammy Awards. He is looked up to by his peers in the industry, not only in country music, but in rock as well. Marty, it is great to have you back on the Saturday Morning Update.
It's good to be on your show. Always a pleasure.
Marty Stewart and the Fabulous Superlatives will be at the Birchmere in Alexandria this coming Friday and Saturday. And one of the reasons I like to get you on the show is for people that have not been to a concert of yours, it's a musical journey. I mean, it's traditional country, it's surf music, it's rockabilly, it's bluegrass, it's billboard hits that you had, and even the Native American themes. And I know a number of our listeners came down to the National Museum of the American Indian at the Smithsonian when you played a free concert in the atrium. It's always a great night of Americana.
Well, and part of that is the Fabulous Superlatives. Kenny Vaughn and Harry Stinson and Chris Scruggs, they're all masters of their craft and statesmen. You know, I think all four of us, you know, there's probably not much of the roots of country music or American music we haven't touched on or covered. So legitimately, those guys play it so well and sing it so well. So I tell you, it's not a problem to go to work at night for me. It's pure joy. I love it. And I love that when the audience gets in on us, we can just fly.
Well, with such a wide variety, you know, how do you go about a set list when you look at the volume of material that you've performed over the years and that you can choose from?
One of the things I learned when I was in Johnny Cash's band, one of the things that I noticed that he always was very mindful of was the current moment, where we were, the type of audience he was playing to. He had so many songs, and he seemed to have a song for every occasion or every location. And he, you know, there were those bolder, you know, gigantic songs that he kind of had to do every night, like I Walk the Line or Ring of Fire, Folsom Prison Blues, those kind of songs. But he would always temper those songs to whatever the unique circumstances were. And so I kept that in mind as I started my own band. So this band has a pretty vast set list, you know, after 156 television shows especially. The amount of songs is pretty hefty.
Tell us about your special relationship with the Library of Congress. I know you've done some special presentations where you've brought in people like Roger McGuinn of the Byrds, Connie Smith, of course, your band, the Fabulous Superlatives, at the Culpeper campus of the Library of Congress, and you've worked with them on their archives.
It's a great relationship. I love the people in Culpeper. Our friend Rob Stone invited me up for the first time to do a two-night series. One was a night of interviews about creative tributaries in my life. And the second night, me and the Superlatives played at the State Theater in Culpeper. It's just 2 or 3 years ago. And we hit it off, and I saw that Rob was really into programming, and I found out that the library, you know, it could use a little beefing up when it comes to the subject of country music. So I said, Rob, let's jump in. And Rob's a great country music fan and a roots music fan. He's a world-class musical citizen. But we jumped in and we started doing some programming, and I donated my video archives to the Library of Congress, and a lot of my vinyl collection went up there. So it's just been an ongoing relationship, and we stumbled upon kind of a radio show format to called the Marty Stewart Sessions, that once or twice a year so far, We get interesting people to come to Culpeper campus, and we do a radio show kind of. And I really have enjoyed this series, and it's an ongoing thing, as I said. And Rob's a part of our world down in Philadelphia, Mississippi, as we develop the Congress of Country Music down there. So it's wonderful to have that relationship.
Now, you're known for your collections, not only of photography, but obviously of this huge array of items of history in the world of country music. And you're going to be displaying that at a new museum in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Tell us a little bit about that.
Cultural Center in my hometown of Philadelphia. It's a part of the overall museum trail in the state of Mississippi. Rock and roll was represented, of course, where Elvis was born in Tupelo, Mississippi, at the Presley birthplace. And across the, over in the Delta, B.B. King was from Indianola, and B.B.'s museum is wonderful. The Grammys just put in a couple of years ago a beautiful facility on the campus of Delta State, Grammy Museum. And so down in the central state, or East Central State, is my hometown, Philadelphia, Mississippi. So it'll be Marty Stewart's Congress of Country Music. We're in the fundraising part of it now. The all the boards are seated. The renderings are drawn. The property's been purchased. The collection is inside of the city of Philadelphia now, warehoused. And so, you know, as soon as all the money's raised, we shall build. And so it is a beautiful facility on paper, and I can't wait for it to be open so the world can come and visit.
And you also have an exhibit coming up at Graceland this summer.
There's two exhibits out there right now. One, if you've never been, Rick, you have to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to the Woody Guthrie Center. It's incredible. All of Woody's archives are there, and I think the Bob Dylan archives will live there. But we have a Way Out West exhibit that traveled to Tulsa from the Los Angeles Grammy Museum. It's up until the end of April. And then we have an exhibit opening at Graceland June the 9th, I think it is, that'll run for a couple of years. Those are all just kind of components of the Congress of Country Music.
Now, something I mentioned earlier is that the range of music in your repertoire includes surf music, and we're going to play a little bit on the way out here, but tell us what your next project is.
We've been working on a project that has a big smile. I keep calling it the Hillbilly Surf Band record. There is so little difference in, you know, the little twanging country music guitar and surfing music. So when we were in Capitol Studios in Los Angeles, we just kept recording. We recorded 7 songs on the floor in one day of some original instrumentals we've been recording. So we have a few more to do, and we're going to get around to those at the end of April. And so perhaps by the fall, that record will be out.
Marty Stewart and the Fabulous Superlatives coming to the Birchmere Friday and Saturday. You can get your tickets at birchmere.com, and we will look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you for having me on your show yet again. You're a great friend. Thank you, Rick.
Surfing music here, you know? It's summertime and almost, right? We're getting close. It is the Saturday Morning Updates, and coming up, the 7 o'clock news, John Gizzi will join us from Newsmax.com. Cheryl Atkison will be with us, and Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. And we're also going to take you to the Final Four in San Antonio and get the very latest there. Amazing game last night in women's basketball, and we'll tell you about it.
The specialist does one thing and one thing alone. And they do it better than anyone else. At Mercedes-Benz of Arlington, we only sell one thing. Mercedes. Just Mercedes. Family-owned and operated since 1937, we treat everyone like one of the family. Helping you find the right C-Class, S-Class, or AMG. And with more than 400 on hand, you won't wait for your Mercedes. You'll drive it home. Mercedes-Benz of Arlington. Located inside the Beltway and always open at justmercedes.com.
Did you ever get tired of being right?
105.9 FM and AM 630.
I have no problem with that.
Washington's Mall.
WMAL.
Where Washington comes to talk.
The expensive mattress you're considering buying is a waste of money.
because it isn't customized to you. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, the only place to get a customized mattress starting at just $600. Just go to HelixSleep.com, fill out our two-minute sleep survey, and we'll design a mattress made just for you with a 100-night sleep trial and financing as low as 0%. For a limited time, get $50 off your mattress order when you go to HelixSleep.com/talkradio. That's HelixSleep.com/talkradio.
Now you can listen to WMAL at home, at work, or anywhere in the world on your Amazon Echo device. For one-time setup, say, Alexa, enable WMAL skill. Once that's done, whenever you want to listen, simply say, Alexa, play WMAL. More details at WMAL.com. WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk.